المسلمين الأنزلين لهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ من الله. اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آلائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنهم أرضك البيضاء وتمتعهم بها طويلا. Congratulations on this auspicious day, which is the birth of our second Imam, Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam. Once Abu Abdullah Hussein comes to the Prophet and says that someone who visits you, what is the reward that he gets, that is the visitor? Now over here in reply, the Prophet, he gives an amazing reply. He says that مَنْ زَارَنِي حَيَّاً أَوْ مَيْتًا, that someone who visits me when I am alive or may I have been passed away. In any case, أَوْ زَارَ أَبَاكَ أَوْ زَارَ أَخَاكَ, or he visits your father, that is Amir al-Mu'mineen, or visits your brother, that is Imam al-Mujtaba, كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيَّا أَنْ أَزُورَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, says it is wajib upon me, it is binding on me that I visit him on the day of judgment. That is just for that one visit that he pays to the Prophet while he is alive or while he has passed away. Or elsewhere says that مَنْ زَارَنِي أَوْ زَارَ أَحَدٌ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, someone who visits me or someone who visits my offsprings, among them are Imam al-Mujtaba and Aba Abdullah Hussein, says that on the day of judgment, on the day of horror, and on that day when everything will be just scary, says it is upon me to save him on that day, just for that one visitation, that one ziyarat. So a lot of ta'keed and a lot of benefit is there embedded in this one ziyarat. And if this visitation to the Prophet or the household of the Prophet is with ma'rifah, with awareness that we know them, who they are, our presence before them, how much obedient we are towards them, then the impact also is going to be huge. In this ziyarat jamaat al-kabira, once in a while recited, the teaching that is to us is that at least on a Friday recite that ziyarat. But those who are lucky, they recite it every day. Among the performance of Marhum Imam Khomeini when he was in exile for those many years in Najaf, it was his routine that every day he goes to the sacred shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen in Najaf, recites that ziyarat every day for all of the duration of time he was there. Not even one day was missed. So impact of that also can be seen in how and what happens and how this revolution comes into existence. If you have that strong bond with Imam, from the other side also that benefit is there. In this ziyarat jama, there is one phrase regarding all of the a'immah. Says عادتكم الإحسان وسجيتكم الكرم. عادت means your way of life, your style. It's إحسان, it's only doing good. إحسان is when someone does good without having any desire to get any payback, any reward. It's just a one-sided doing good. And معصومين, they are like that. They do good, just one-sided. وَعَادَتُكُمُ الْإِحْسَانُ وَسَّجِيَّتُكُمُ الْكَرَمُ. And you must have heard this, one of the Arabs from Sham. Once he comes to Medina and he was under the strong influence of Muawiyah. Wherein Muawiyah had taught the people that whatsoever the mess we see is from the Ahlul Bayt. He was under that influence of Muawiyah. Comes to Medina and starts ill-talking about Imam al-Mujtaba in the presence of him. And he did not know he is standing before the Imam and he is swearing at him so much. Now after he had completed. Imam says, I think you are lost in this country, in this city, or you are new over here. He says, yes, I am. Imam then says that if you have no home, my home can be yours. I'll provide you shelter. Says, if you are in need of funds, I'll provide you with funds. If you are in debt, I'll pay your debts. And then this person says, who are you? You're such a benevolent person. Says, I'm Hassan ibn Ali. And then this Arab from Sham, from Syria, he says that if anyone had told me prior to this meeting with you who the worst person on this planet Earth is, I would have said it's you. But now that I've met you, if someone asks me who the best person on this planet Earth is, I'll say it's you. That is because of that performance. أَعْدَتُكُمُ الْإِحْسَانِ وَسَجِيَّتُكُمُ الْكَرَمِ. Or it is revealed, it is reported that once Imam Mujtaba, he's having his lunch. And at that time, a dog passes by. So the companions who are with the Imam, they want to hush that dog and drive him away. Imam says, don't do that. Any living being who has come to us has to benefit. Gives the food that he was eating to the dog. That is again that أَعْدَتُكُمْ الْإِحْسَانِ وَسَجِيَّتُكُمْ الْكَرَمِ. Once the Holy Prophet, he was carrying the two grandsons, and on and off he kissed one of them. Once he kissed Imam Mujtaba, the other time he kissed Abu Abdullah. And present over there are these two reporters. They say that, do you love them, Ya Rasulullah? And in reply, Rasulullah says that, do I love them? And he starts reporting so many ahadith that man ahabba al-Hasana wal-Husayn faqad ahabbani, that someone who loves Hassan and Hussein has indeed loved me, and someone who hates them has indeed hated me. Or says that these two are the chief of the youth of the paradise. Or sometimes says that then these two sons of mine, they are the imam, whether they rise or whether they do not, whether they are in qiyam or whether they sit. In any case, they are the imams and you have to be obedient to them. The topic that is for tonight is there is a hadith, this dua, which you have heard a lot, which says that someone who is waiting for the imam, this person comes to our sixth imam and inquires, what shall I do? Someone who is waiting for the imam, is there any instruction? Are there any instructions for him? In reply, he says, yes, there are. What are they? Says, this dua, recite it a lot. Allahumma arifni nafsak. فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي نَفْسَكَ لَمْ أَعْرِفْ رَسُولَكَ. That is, God, make yourself known to me. If you do not make yourself known to me, I will not be able to know who your Rasul is, who your Prophet is. Says, فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ, and then says, اللَّهُمَّ عَرِّفْنِي نَبِيَّكَ. Make that Prophet of yours known to me. If he is unknown to me, I will not know who the Imam, who the Hujjah, who the argument after the Prophet is. And then finally says that, make that Imam known to me. If he remains unknown, ذَلَلْتُ عَنْ دِينِ, I will be misled. And there will be no salvation for me at that time. So knowing the Imam is important, as it was mentioned yesterday, that at least you have to know the ID of the Imam, who they are, and from whose progeny they are. Now that you've known them, then you have to know a bit more what their performance was. And when it comes to the Imam of time, we have to know, we have to learn, we have to educate ourselves when the return of the Imam is, what the signs of his return are going to be, and when he returns, what his role is going to be. So all these are embedded in that dua, arifni, 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 that Allah teach me. Looking back into history, and that is the time when our first Imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam, they congregated at the doorstep of Amir al-Mu'mineen. They wanted him to rise. They came to him and they said, "Anta waliyyana, anta imamuna, anta khalifatuna. We want you to take the charge and rise. We will support. We will be with you." But when they came closer to Amir al-Mu'mineen and they see how his performance is, it is tough for them to be with him. They just step back. It is not easy to cope with Amir al-Mu'mineen. For example, that is, his personality was so amazing, and the same thing is wrong all the Imams. It is not as such that this one is tougher, that is easier. No. كُلُّهُمْ مِنْ نُورٍ وَاحِدٍ, that all of them are one light, one noor. For example, during the time of the second Khalifa, the debate was that who should succeed him, that is after him, who should be the Khalifa. He says, okay, after me, whoever that, the instructions were such, that you will take six of the best men who are present in Medina, among them are Talha, Zubayr, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, Uthman, and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Take them, all six of them, lock them in a room. And then he says, instructions are given that they will select from among themselves who the next Khalifa is going to be. And then he says that if it's going to be a draw, if it was a 3-3, he says, my vote is with Abdul Rahman bin Auf. Whoever he votes for, that person is going to be the next Khalifa. And it was a draw based upon how the instructions were given by Omar. Abdul Rahman bin Auf gives his vote, and then in his vote was Amir al-Mu'mineen. And based upon the instructions, they said the next Khalifa after Omar should be Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now how he does that? When he gives his vote, he comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, extends his hands, saying that, I want to extend my allegiance to you in accordance to the teachings of Allah, in accordance to the teachings of the Holy Prophet, and in accordance to the teachings of Shaykhain. The moment he extends his allegiance with these three words, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he pulls his hands back. He says, if I want to be the Khalifa, and if I have to take the charge, I will rule and govern in accordance to the teachings of Allah, in accordance to the teachings of Rasulullah, and in accordance to my teachings, not the teachings of Shaykhain. So this was tough. That is, although that Khilafat was given to him, he denies, doesn't accept. And at that time, many objected. They said that, Ali, why did you do that? You should have accepted it based upon taqiyya. That is, you should have accepted that khilafat and continued with whatever you want. Imam, in reply, he says that if I am to serve as a khalifa, from that first moment of it, it has to be sincere, without anything wrong in it, without any discrepancy in it. So tolerating the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen was tough. That is why we have to know who the Imam is, what the performance of the Imam are, what is expected from us with regards to us and the Imam. So it's tough. When it comes to judgments that the Imam has, for example, one of them was mentioned a few days ago, looking back into the Book of Allah, that is, Quran. He has sent so many prophets. Among them is Prophet Dawud, the son of Prophet Sulaiman. To him, again, a rule was given. Prophet Dawud was also a qazi, a judge. And the judgments of his were such that he never looked into what the witnesses and what the claimants are, or what the proofs, whatever the system we have today. He used to judge based upon wahi. That is, he used to wait for Jibreel to descend to say what and how to judge.
It so happens that a case comes to him. A person, he comes and complains. Says that there is a young lad, he has slaughtered my cow without my permission, and I want justice. He invites that young lad. Says, what is it? Says, I'm poor, I was in need. I asked Allah to send my rizq and sustenance. The door of my house was open. A cow walked in. I slaughtered it. That's it. And he says, I want my right back. I want my cow or the price of it. Prophet Dawood waits for that wahi to be revealed, what he has revealed, and he gives his judgment, his ruling, that let this boy go and take your case back. He says, what type of a judgment was that? I've lost my cow and you want me to take this case back? He says, yes. He says, no, I want my rights. Continues fighting for his life again. Why is revealed? That tell him to give all his belongings, that is all of his cattle and cows, whatever he possesses, to this young boy. All of that. When Prophet Dawood rules out this ruling, says that, what is this? I lost a cow, in addition I have to give away everything to this boy. When he starts making a mess over there, once again wahi is revealed, in addition to all his animals and livestock, all of his wealth should be given to him. For the third time when he makes a mess over there, says everything, all of the slaves, including himself, should be given to that boy. And then he says, what type of judgment was this? Instructions again to Prophet Dawood, go to the graveyard, to the cemetery. Now this boy was an orphan. They come to the orphan and bi-iznillah, that is by the command of Allah, he instructs to the grave and the father of this lad, he is resurrected. And then Prophet Dawood says, you tell us what is right. He says, this person, he was my partner, he killed me, all my possession he looted, he usurped. So in reality, all what he possessed was, the rightful owner of it was that young boy. This is how wahi, Prophet Dawood, he used to judge based upon that wahi. Amir al-Mu'mineen also was the same. Ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam, all of them, they also judge in the same way. The knowledge which they possess, we've got this knowledge which is huzuri, which is, we have a knowledge which is husudi. Husudi means you go to your schools, colleges, universities and you acquire knowledge and you get knowledgeable. You learn. Huzuri means that is God given knowledge to you and you know it yourself. During the time again of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the time of that Khulafa, Omar, he once comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that, do you know Ali why you are a loser? He says, why? He says, because you are blunt. Whatever you want, you say quickly, without any hesitation. Then Omar says, you have to be very political when you talk. That is, when you want to say something, chew and play with the words, and then come up with a decision. All of a sudden, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he brings his fist in front of Omar's face and says, how many are there? He says, five. Imam says, why were you so quick? You should have played with the words and slowly said that they are five. Omar says, I know them, they are five. Imam says, that is how it's presented before me. Everything is known and for me I don't need to think and without any hesitation I can give you a reply. That is huzuri. So, the performance of the Imam exactly is like the performance of the Prophet. The miracles which the Prophet performed, his Khalifa, which his successor, must be able to perform those miracles. Whatever was with him should be with his successor. Again, you must have heard this, and that is during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One of the Arabs He comes to Rasulullah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, people say that you are a prophet. He says, yes. And then he says, every prophet has a miracle. He says, yes. He says, and they say that your miracle is a book, Quran. Rasulullah says, yes. He says, but I'm an illiterate person. I cannot read, I cannot write. So Quran for me would mean nothing. So no matter how much you prove, I will not understand because I'm illiterate. And then he says, can you not show me one of those regular miracles which all the other prophets had? He says, whichever miracle, whatever you want, all of that can be provided to you. He says, what do you want? He says, from this mountain, can you bring me a camel? Rasulullah says, I can do it. What type of a camel? He says, I want a red one. He says, okay. Rasulullah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and a camel emerges from that mountain. He says, can I see another one? He says, yes, you can. And then he says again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, another camel emerges. And then he says, can I have six? Rasulullah says, as many as you want. He says, I'll take these two for a test drive, and then for the other four I'll come back, because you owe me those four camels and you have to pay them later. He says, okay. He goes back to his hometown and becomes a muballigh, a propagator of the Prophet, that he is a true Prophet, and these are the miracles I've seen, and these two red camels, limited version, you can see that. Now, he wanted six, he took two. Comes back to Medina, it took about 60-70 days for him to return. And when he returns, Rasulullah has passed away. He says, regardless, even if he has passed away, he should have some successor. And that successor must provide, because we believe that whatever is upon the Prophet, his successor continues with that mission. Says, who is the successor? Says the second Khalifa, the first Khalifa, Abu Bakr. He comes to him, says, this is what had happened, and I want those camels now. He, if he couldn't provide them, then he is not the rightful successor. He says, I'll give you 100 camels, the regular ones. He says, no, I can give you 200, I don't want them. I want the red ones, which the Prophet owes me, four of them, I want them. He couldn't do it. And it so happens that Amirul Mu'mineen, in all of these hot spots, some of his ashab were present. And in that majlis, Salman was present. That whenever people, they used to come to the Khalifa and they didn't get an answer, they used to guide them to Abul Hasan. And they bring him to Abul Hasan. And at that time, the Prophet and Amirul Mu'mineen is about 30 years of age, 32 years old, comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen and says, this is what has happened. He says, I remember I was present at that time when the camels emerged. He says, okay, I want the four now. He says, will be provided. They come exactly to the same location. He says, like the Prophet, as he stood, he stands. As he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he said, and the camels, they emerged one after the other and were provided to them.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So imams, they possess the miracles which the Prophet possessed. And for the Prophet, all of the miracles which all of the Prophets possessed had, he has. And our belief is that Imam of time, he has all of that which was given to all of the Prophets, and inshallah we'll explore this a little bit more in the forthcoming nights. In philosophy, we have a concept which says that an-nihayat turja'u ila al-bidayat. That is, you have to have something in your mind, and based upon that, you build things. You want to become a doctor, so you have a pre-planning in your mind. You work on it and then you become a doctor. And once you become a doctor, then you say, and that was my mindset initially, and based upon that, I did it. The concept of imamat is also the same. The belief in the one God is also the same. That we have to have that understanding of the concept of the imam, the concept of imamat, what his performance is going to be, how he is going to rule, how he is going to judge. And only then will it be easier and simpler for us to understand and see and relate when the Imam returns. If we are blind, if our minds are blank, nothing exists in them, and Imam returns, no matter what happens, we have to start relating and working on ourselves right from day one. It's going to be tough. So for that reason, we are told that we have to fix ourselves. And that is that ID of the Imams have to be known, that ma'rifah has to be known. And that is why we say, Allahumma arifni nafsak, fa'innaka in lam tu'arifni nafsak, lam a'rif rasul, that Allah make yourself known to me. If not, your Prophet will be unknown. Make your Prophet known to me. If not, Imam will be unknown. Make that Imam known to me. If not, I will be misled. So, we have to work on this issue. And when we talk about the Imam of time, do some research, approach whosoever you can to get the right answers. Because these doubts that come to our minds, questions that come to our mind, it is wajib upon us that we get a reply. We have to. And if we don't, it just grows and they become cancerous diseases. And in our understanding and in our thoughts, especially the youngsters, if there are questions you have in your mind, ask them before they become much more tough. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on this day of Imam al-Mujtaba grant us, bless us with the ma'rifah of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, count us among their sincere supporters, among their sincere servants, and those who seek martyrdom in their service. All those who have haja, wishes, no matter what the wishes are, all of them be granted. Salam.